We're going to be reading, beginning in verse 22. If you would, join me one last time. Standing. If you say, I want to, I just sat down. Well, you just got to talk to Brittany and tell her to play a longer offertory so that you can rest longer. Acts 17, verse 22. Acts 17, verse 22. Let's begin reading there. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. Now, that's not a mountain on another planet, okay? That's just a hill where there's literally the city council of Athens, Greece, set on an amphitheater, a hill, and Paul stood in front of them, and this is what he began, and he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." See, God doesn't need our offerings. He doesn't need what we just gave in that offering plate. It's not about that. The Bible says in verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Well, God's in control. That they should seek the Lord. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from all men and all nations. To seek the Lord. If haply they might find and feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being.
That's right.
Amen. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device. In other words, an idol. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, But now, commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Hallelujah. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead," now they were okay until that part. "But when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter." I'm going to leave off reading there in verse 32. Notice it says, "we will hear thee again of this matter." What they wanted to hear is more about Jesus.
Amen.
More about Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for your help this morning. Lord, I pray that you would fill this place with a holy hush, Lord God. Each one of our hearts and our minds would be focused on Jesus, on eternity, the things that matter, Lord God, in this life. I pray, oh God, please, that your Holy Spirit would have full control of this tongue, this mind, Lord God, that you would put a hedge around this building. Please guard us from all distractions. Bind the evil one, I pray, and plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ here today to do a work in our hearts, God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. More about Jesus. As the Apostle Paul stood in front of that city hall, that council of city governors and mayors and leaders, he preached to them about what they had called the unknown God. Athens, Greece was a very idolatrous city. The Bible says that the city was wholly given to idolatry, completely given to worshiping idols, images, if you will. But when Paul came into town, amen, he began to disputing with them and in the market daily and telling them, preaching to them the gospel. Well, they took him up to Mars Hill, up to what the Bible calls Areopagus, which is, like I said, like the center of the city there. And they wanted to hear about this new doctrine. They wanted to hear about this new image or idol or new God that they did not know anything about. Well, the Apostle Paul, as you well know, was a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. Amen. That was his message. That is our message today. Amen. There is no other message that matters outside of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the reason, amen, that Christmas means anything to you and me. But Paul stood there on that hill to facing those leaders. And by the way, he was one man against a whole city. He was one man against an entire city given to all kinds of false gods. He had no idea what they were going to say. He had no idea what they were going to do. He did not know the end of the story like we do. All he knew was, I have an opportunity, amen, to tell someone else about Jesus. I have an opportunity to preach the gospel to someone who does not know my Father, does not know my Savior. See, the Bible says that Paul stood there and he got to the resurrection of our Savior, amen. By the way, that is the most important part of the gospel. And except Jesus Christ be resurrected, our faith would be in vain. We would be yet in our sins. But the resurrection of our Savior, amen, he preached to them about a God they did not know. He preached to them about a creator that made all of heaven and earth. He preached to them about the truth of repentance. He preached to this city that was wholly given to idolatry about a God in heaven who was not made by hands. And what he was doing was introducing this pagan city to the God of heaven, and he did it by preaching more about Jesus. You understand, today we live in a world, folks, where everybody's chasing something. This whole entire city is chasing all kinds of gods. This entire city is chasing all kinds of gods of their own imagination. You go down, up and down these streets here today in Denton, Texas, and you'll see all kinds of idols. People will be worshiping all kinds of immorality and drugs and alcohol and fornication and pleasures and self. Amen. They have built to them and heaped to themselves idols of all kinds. And what they need to hear, dearly beloved, is they need to hear more about Jesus. What we need as a nation, what we need as a city, and listen, I can't speak for you this morning. I hope that you came to church to hear more about Jesus, but I want to know more about Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to know more. I need to know more about Jesus. I need to know more about his saving power. I want to hear more about Jesus. I want to sing more about Jesus. Amen, Brother Worcester. I want to talk more about Jesus. I want to preach more about Jesus. I didn't say longer services. I just said more about Jesus. That's what America needs. America needs to hear more about Jesus. Amen. The lost world needs to hear more about Jesus. Amen. Christians, we need to hear more about Jesus. Jesus is everything to the believer. His death on the cross, his burial in that old-fashioned tomb, and then the resurrection on the third day. Listen to me. We need more about Jesus. That's what we need. We don't need less right now. We don't need to back off of the gospel. We need to go forward. Amen. Heaven bound with a hammer down. We need to be preaching and teaching and learning and studying and singing and hearing more about Jesus. That's what America needs. You understand, that's how come America became a nation, because they said, I'm going to have more about Jesus. I'm not going to continue to let that British Empire keep me from hearing and learning more about Jesus. I'm not going to keep serving in idolaters. By the way, the Church of England, listen, that was false doctrine. It was heresy. It was nothing more than a glorified Catholic Church, amen. And they said, I'm going to hear more about Jesus, and I'm going to die trying.
Yeah.
And many of them did. America as a nation is here today because men and women long gone years ago decided our country needs more about Jesus. We need to have more preaching about Jesus. We need to have more Sunday school about Jesus. We need to have more church service. We need to have revivals, amen. We need to have missions conferences. We need to send missionaries around the world because the world needs to hear more about Jesus. The world needs to know more about Jesus. How much do we know about Jesus? Well, I know a little bit. Listen, there's never too much to know. There's always more to learn.
Amen.
We need to know more about Jesus. Christmas season is exciting. Christmas season is a blessing to me as a believer in Christ Jesus, a saved man, because listen, all of a sudden, everybody's talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus, and I mean, that's great. I'm glad. Even if they're lost, I don't care if they're lost. The name of Jesus Christ is going to make a difference in their heart. The name of Jesus Christ is going to make a difference, even when they go to the store shopping for, who knows what they're shopping for, one of their idols. But amen, there may be Jesus on a poster somewhere. Jesus on a shirt. shirt somewhere, Jesus on a banner somewhere. Jesus is the reason for the season. Merry Christmas. Christmas itself is got the name Christ in there, amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior. We need more about Jesus. Paul came to a city that was wholly given to idolatry. Paul came to a city that had no desire, no understanding. They had not a clue about salvation. And he said, I know what I need to do. I need to tell them more about Jesus.
Yeah.
The saved world needs to hear more about Jesus.
Amen.
Not just the lost. You and me need to hear more about Jesus. Because you understand, Jesus is what makes us who we are. Our lack of Jesus makes us far from who we are, who we need to be. See, the saved, those of us who are born again, we need to hear more about Jesus. That's what we need. We don't need to worry about, again, rules and regulations and rituals and methods, and those are important in their place. But what we need in the heart and the core and the soul of our being is more about Jesus. We need to be filled with more of Jesus. Amen. We need to have our minds filled with more thoughts about Jesus. We need to have our lips flowing with more words about Jesus. Everything in our life ought to revolve around Jesus. Amen. The saved world needs to know more about Jesus. People are coming to a place in their saved Christian lives where they just don't even study the Bible. They don't even read the Bible. They don't even spend time with their Savior. And what we need now more than ever, dear beloved, in this world of apostasy and idolatry is more about Jesus.
Right.
Number one, quickly, more about Jesus will make me more like Jesus.
Right.
Look in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar to this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now again, he's talking to the leaders of that city. He's one man. He traveled with a team of missionaries and helpers and partners, but in this case, they were still back where he had left them. I think it was Berea, but the fact is, he's now in Athens, Greece by himself. There had never been a gospel preacher in Athens, Greece. They had never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ in Athens, Greece. You know that Greece is where all of the Greek philosophers and all of the hellish philosophy still today, amen, it creeps out of Greece, amen. And, but Paul was standing there, listen to me, in this place by himself in front of all of the city government with all the power in their hands to do whatever they wanted to him. And listen to me, he did nothing but stand there and preach Jesus.
Yes,
he told them the truth. He said, you're ignorant. Yes. He said, you're superstitious, and you don't know the one God that matters.
Amen.
Now you say, wow, that was bold. That's exactly my point. You see, if we would hear and know and learn and be around more about Jesus every day, listen to me, we would be more like that ourselves.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Why did Paul have the boldness to do that? Because he was filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was filled with the Spirit of Christ. You see, Jesus did that very same thing to the spiritual leaders of their day. He did the same thing to the Pharisees. He called them, "Ye generation of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell?"
Yep.
That's what he said to the religious leaders of the day. He wasn't trying to be mean. He was just telling them the truth. And Paul was telling them the truth. He said, listen, you're superstitious. You're ignorant. You have all of these idols, but I'm here to tell you about the one that you need to know, the one true living God who has made a way, amen, to Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. See, Paul stood there and told them the truth, just like Jesus did throughout his earthly ministry. See, the more I hear about Jesus, the more like him I'm going to be. The more I know about Jesus, the more like this I'm going to be. The more bold I'm going to be. The more fearless I'm going to be. The more willing and desiring to tell people about Jesus. Listen, look what it says over here in verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them, again, he was by himself. While Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. I wonder what he would think if he came to Texas, Denton, Texas, to be exact, today, What do we think when we see our city? What do we think about our city? You see, his spirit was stirred in him. His heart was burdened for those people. Why? Because his life was filled with Jesus. His heart was filled with Jesus. His mind, see, he did not ever, he says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said, I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. His whole life, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, his whole life revolved around Jesus. And so when he saw a city, he did not see an impossible situation. He did not see an impossible, hopeless situation. He saw a city, and he says in verse 17, therefore disputed he. Therefore he took his heart, his mind, his lips, his feet, his hands, and he began preaching the gospel to that city.
Amen.
Why? Because he was more like Jesus than we are.
Yeah.
Why? Because his life had more about Jesus in it. Are you listening to me? See, more about Jesus will make me more like Jesus. I need to know more about where Jesus goes so I can follow him better.
Yeah.
See, some of you don't even know what it means to follow Jesus. And that's wonderful. I want to help you learn that. But it's going to start with you getting to know more about Jesus.
Right.
Learning more about Jesus. Amen. I need to know more about how Jesus thinks so I can think more like him.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible, y'all wake up this morning, please. I think I could probably preach this if y'all would help me a little bit. Amen. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
How am I going to know what the mind of Christ is, amen, until I know more about Jesus? I need to think like Jesus. I need to react to problems like Jesus did. I need to respond to people like Jesus did. I need to know what to say. I need to know how to think. And listen, it's not going to happen until my life is filled with more about Jesus.
Yeah.
I need to know more about how Jesus speaks, so I can speak more like him. Amen. So the things that come out of my mouth don't sound like a bumbling fool. Amen. I know it still happens. I can't help it. But if our hearts and our minds were more filled with Jesus, we would sound more like Jesus. We would actually, have you ever been around somebody who knows the Bible well enough, amen, and they can quote scriptures to you when you ask them questions? That's what I'm talking about. Why is that? Not because they're watching television all day. It's because they're filling their hearts and their minds with more about Jesus. And they're more like Jesus when you're around them.
Yeah.
Amen. We need more about Jesus. We need more of our Savior. We need to know more about Jesus.
Yeah.
More about Jesus will make me more like Jesus. Listen to me. By the way, that's God's will for every believer.
Amen.
God's working in all of our hearts to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's God's will. What do you mean, preacher? What does God want from my life? He wants you to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
He wants us all to be more like Jesus. God is doing things in my heart. He's putting burdens in my life. He's putting heartbreaks in my life. He's giving me joys and pleasures. He's answering prayer when and where and how He wants to. Amen. Why? Because He's conforming me like a potter, amen, conforms to clay. He's molding my life so that I will remind other people of Jesus. Amen. So that I will preach and sound and think and act and walk and talk like my Savior. Why? Because Jesus made an incredible difference in this world. Imagine if all of God's children were more like that.
Amen. Yeah.
More about Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Not less, more. You understand, if we have more and know more about Jesus, hear more about Jesus, we'll be more like Jesus. Paul was a whole lot like Jesus standing there that day. Number two, more about Jesus, this is even more important, will make me less like myself.
Amen.
Yeah.
Paul did not once mention himself in this message. He preached God Almighty, God the Creator, God the Sustainer, God the one who's to be worshipped, God who's not made by silver and gold, not made with hands, God who gives us life, our being, God who has now raised up Jesus Christ, God, Jesus, Savior. There wasn't one thing out of his mouth that mentioned himself. John the Baptist made a statement in John chapter 3. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease.
Amen.
Listen to me this morning. If we would fill our lives with Jesus, more about Jesus, we would be much less like ourselves. You say, well, preacher, this is how God made me. No, it's not. No, it's not. God did not make you a sinner. God did not make you a hell-bound sinner. God made you perfect. Look what it says right there in the scripture. Amen. Y'all stay with me now. Don't lose me. Look what it says right there in verse 26. Hath made of one blood all nations. What does that mean? We all came from the same place. Amen. We all came from Adam and Eve. We all came from their we are their descendants. We're all related to that one man and his wife. You understand that, right? That means we're all born in sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. We're all there. And God did not create us like that. Man, Adam and Eve chose to sin and disobey and rebel against God. And then they became sinners. They died spiritually. And everything that comes from that is death. God didn't make us like that. Amen. God did not give us a sin nature. God created us in perfection and sinless beauty in the Garden of Eden. But from the blood of Adam, the sinful man who sinned and rebelled against God, now we are created. Now we are in Christ Jesus as a new creature, but we will never be who God intended for us to be until this old flesh finally falls off.
Yeah.
Amen. Are you listening to me? One day this old flesh is going to be gone.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the body. The body is going to fall. I'm talking about the nature.
Yeah.
You understand what a nature is? Why does a cat purr? Why does a dog bark? Why does a leopard have spots? Because that's their nature. That's how God created them. Listen to me. That's not our nature. God didn't create us like that. God, one day when we get to heaven, no more cats, no more dogs, no more leopards. Amen. It's going to be sinless perfection. You understand? Our nature is going to be completely and entirely divine.
Yeah.
Whew. Well, if I would fill my heart and mind with more of Jesus, I would be less sinful every day.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? More about Jesus would make me less like my sinful self. The problem here is many times, listen now, we don't see anything wrong with ourselves. Sometimes, many times, God has to put us in the middle of the biggest fiery furnace until we finally realize, Lord, I'm a mess.
Yep.
There was a man named Nebuchadnezzar who was the king, really the world power of all of Babylon. He was the king. And he was a man filled with pride. He not only did he not think anything was wrong with him, but he thought he was God. He thought he created that kingdom. He thought he created that power. And God smote him and sent him out to live as a wild beast in the field for 7 years. He grew claws like an animal. He grew feathers and hair like an animal. He ate and slept outside like an animal for 7 years. And when he got back from that, God's grace, amen, he got back from that 7 years, and he said, oh, I know one thing now, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I know one thing now. He said, God is able to abase those that live in pride,
yeah. That
walk in pride. And see, that's what God, many times, unfortunately, for all of us, unfortunately, we walk through life like there's nothing wrong with me. I don't have anything to worry about. I'm okay. There's nothing. I'm pretty good. I mean, look, compared to them, I'm not so bad. And God says, wait a minute. They're not the standard. I am. They're not the standard. Righteousness and holiness is. Jesus is the standard, dearly beloved. Jesus Christ is the standard for our lives. And when we get to know more about Jesus, when we fill our hearts and our minds with more of Jesus, you understand, we're going to be less like that sinful loser that sin makes us.
Right.
You don't win in sin. You lose. You lose everything. And see, if I would be more like Jesus and have more about learning, hearing, speaking, thinking more like Jesus, we make so little of Jesus because we make so much of ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm talking about myself too. More about Jesus will open our eyes to our own foolishness. You understand what I'm saying? In me, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Nothing. Anything good in you is not because of you.
That's right.
I mean, think about that. Anything good in me is not because of me at all. I cannot take any credit for it.
Amen.
I am nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. I am no good for nothing. I know that's not good English, but he said there is none that doeth good. There is none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all become unprofitable. There is none, zero, none.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
And let me add to that, because that's what Romans 7 says. Without me, Jesus said, you are nothing.
That's right.
No, there's no good in me. You're not. Listen, if this message helps you at all, it ain't because of me. It ain't because of me. It's because of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If this message does anything to help you, to encourage you, to lift your spirits, to draw you closer to Christ, to make you more faithful, to help in any way, it's all because of God's almighty power through the Lord Jesus Christ, because we need more about Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, God loves me. Yes, Jesus died for me, but I wasn't worthy of that. And the more I understand about Jesus, the more I understand about his sacrifice was for my sins. It was my sins that hung him on the cross. When's the last time you thought about that? Let me just come here and preach for a minute. When's the last time you thought about that?
Yeah.
I'm going to just get there right down here where y'all can all see me and even smell my breath. How about that?
Amen.
I think I had a mint earlier, so it's okay. The last time you thought about that, it was my sins that nailed him to the cross.
Sure.
You didn't think about that this morning. Don't lie to me. You didn't get up to church saying, I'm going to go to church because my sins nailed my Savior to the cross and I don't want my sins to continue to disgrace him. You didn't think about that this morning. You did not think about that this morning. You see, our flesh is so deceitful, desperately wicked.
Sure.
We came to church probably, I'm just guessing, I'm not God, I can't read your mind. We came to church because we had to, because we're supposed to, because that's what we do on Sunday mornings. Well, I came to church, I want to hear about God, I need the Bible. Well, that you're getting closer there, that's great. I came to church because I'm a sinner, and without Christ, I'm absolutely worthless.
Amen.
Did you really come to church for that? But see, more about Jesus, like Monday through Saturday before Sunday morning, your heart will be different when you come to church. You'll come to church, and you'll come to church with a desire to learn more about Jesus, because without him, I'm worthless. Now, if that's your desire, if that's your heart, then you're on the right track. But I would guess, I'm not a gambling man, but I would wager a whole lot of money that nobody came to church with that thought on their mind. Why? Because we think of ourselves way too highly. But with more about Jesus. See, Paul stood there preaching on that morning before all of that city council, all of those pagan heathens. He didn't care if they killed him. He didn't care if they stoned him. He'd already been stoned once. He was completely oblivious to his own well-being. See why? Because his heart and his life was filled with Jesus. That's all he wanted. He wanted people to know more about Jesus. He wanted his heart to be more filled with Jesus. The more I know about Jesus' blood, the more I realize how absolutely incapable I was to ever pay my own sin debt. More about Jesus. The more I understand how much Jesus suffered for me, the more I understand how much he hates my sin. Sin ought to bother you. And if it doesn't bother you, it's because you don't know or you haven't heard or you don't think about Jesus enough. Your heart and mind are not filled with Jesus. Because God hates sin.
Amen.
Jesus hates sin. Amen. Jesus condemned sin on the cross.
That's right. Amen. Come
on. And if I would fill my life with Jesus, my heart with Jesus, my mind with Jesus. You say, preacher, how is that possible in this filthy, dark, evil world? Well, it's very possible. God's given you a Bible. Read it. God's given you a church. Get here. That's all you're going to hear about here is Jesus. God's given you the opportunity and the privilege to go to Him through Jesus Christ, our intercessor, in prayer.
Amen.
And spend time with Him. You know, my wife and I were talking about this, I think, just earlier this week. How is it that a person can build a relationship with someone they've never seen? That's what a lot of the gainsayers and the rebellious people, how can you have a relationship with Jesus? You can't see Him. How are you going to answer that question, my wife said. How are you going to answer that question? And honestly, I've heard it before, and you probably have too. And they're mocking you. You can't even have a relationship. Jesus is not here. Okay. How many of you have ever had a relationship with someone who lived in another state, and all you could do was communicate with them? Phone calls. Now you got emails and texts and all that, Garb. But, I mean, you can communicate. You know, a relationship. How many, let's say this. Say you had a loved one locked up in prison. And you could never do anything but communicate with him. Would your relationship completely end? See, relationships are built on communication.
Try it.
Trust and communication.
Yes, sir.
I have a relationship with my mother. She lives way over on the East Coast. I see her once in a while, but if I never saw her again, she would still be my mother, and I could still communicate with her.
Sure.
See, this whole thing of building a relationship and getting to know more about Jesus is through communication. Two-way communication. I pray, He speaks to me. I speak to Him, He speaks to me. He's alive, y'all. He's alive in our hearts. And a lost man will never understand that, I know. But the fact that He's alive in my heart, He is alive, allows me to have a relationship with Him. And see, that's what I'm talking about. Building a relationship, getting closer to my Savior is how I'm going to know more and be closer more and learn more and have more about Jesus in my thoughts. You see, the more time I spend with my wife, I don't even have to see her. I don't even have to ever touch her. If I just communicate with her more and more and more communication, you know what? My relationship with her is going to be closer.
That's right.
That's all I'm talking about this morning. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you thinking about right now? Our hearts, our minds. Listen, the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit. Is that possible? Of course it's possible. Otherwise God would never have said it.
Right.
Christmas season, listen, is a time where everybody's talking about Jesus. People are mentioning Jesus' name. Christmas itself, like I said. But we need to understand something. It's not just Christmas, but my sins were what nailed Jesus to the cross. My sins hung Him on that tree. My selfish nature turned my back on Him and ignored His death for my sins for a long time. And many times I spend days, and I don't even think about Him one time.
That's right.
Oh, I know we're busy. I'm not telling you you can't be busy. If anybody understands that, I understand. If you know what it means to burn the candle at both ends, my candle's already burned down to the middle and it's about to go out. I know what it means to be busy. But you can't be too busy for Jesus.
Amen.
You're going to be weak. He is your strength.
Amen.
He is your source of victory and strength in this world. More about Jesus will make me less like myself.
Amen.
And finally, as I close, more about Jesus will prepare me for eternity. Look in verse 26. Hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. God says, why aren't you seeking me? I want you to seek me. I'm here. I'm here for the finding, if you'll seek me. If haply they might feel after him, find him, though he be not far from everyone. He's not far, y'all. It's not his fault. It's not his fault if you're far from him. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think the Godheads like gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because one day you're going to see him again.
Amen.
Because he hath appointed a day. Look at that. It's appointed, y'all. You're not getting out. You can't reschedule this appointment. You can't cancel this appointment. It's appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. What's he saying? He said, he's telling those folks on that in that city right there in Athens, Greece, he's saying, one day you're going to stand before him.
Yeah, that's right.
One day you're going to see this man I'm talking to you about.
Uh-huh.
You better get to know more about Jesus now, or you're not going to be prepared for that day.
Uh-huh.
You say, listen, they weren't saved. I understand that, but you are, but still, there's still going to come a judgment day where you're going to stand before this God Almighty, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's going to ask you, how come you spent so much time living your life for everything else except me?
Yeah.
And you ain't going to be able to just leave church and go home and not think about it anymore. It's going to be too late.
Yeah.
See, if I'll live my life for Jesus now, and I'll spend more time learning more about Jesus now, listen, when I stand before him that day, I'm not going to have to be ashamed. I'm not going to have to hang my head like so many of you do when I get on your sin. You think you're going to hang it here? Wait till you stand before him.
Amen, brother.
You can just leave here and go do what you want to do and say, oh, that preacher's crazy. You're not going to get away from this one. It's appointed and you can't change it.
Amen.
If you spend your life thinking, learning, speaking, living more like Jesus, I promise you, you're going to be better prepared for that day.
Amen.
God's appointed a day. All men. We must all give an account of ourselves to God. I'm not going to give an account of you. And you're not going to give an account of me. And thank God for that. But if I'll spend more time, fill my heart and my life with more about Jesus,
amen,
I'll be more prepared for that day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Are you saved today?
Amen.
Yeah. Are the rest of you saved today?
Amen.
Well, then you have been given life. You have been given life, a gift of eternal life.
Sure.
Your life is not your own.
No.
My life is not mine. We belong to him.
Yeah, that's right.
When you buy a car, do you take it home if it's only got 3 tires on it? Why not? You got most of it. When you buy a car, buy anything at the store, you take it home and there's 3 or 4 different pieces missing. You just say, okay, never mind, throw it away. Of course not. Why? Because you bought it. It's yours, and you expect to have all of it at your disposal. All of it.
Amen.
Otherwise, you don't have it.
Right.
I mean, what good is a car with 3 wheels? I'm not talking about one of those slingshot things either. I'm talking about a four-wheel car with 3 wheels. Like a four-legged dog with 3 legs. Poor thing. Hop along. That's where they got Hop Along Cassidy from. Anyway, I digress. Sorry, y'all. My son loves Hopalong Cassidy. Y'all don't even know who he is? Okay, all right. Anyway, well, listen, when God saved you, the Bible says he bought you with the very price of Jesus' blood. He bought you. He deserves all of you. All of you.
Amen.
All of us. Now you say, well, that's no big deal. I can live my life. Yeah, you can. And that he's going to just let, he's going to chasten you. He's going to work in your heart through his Holy Spirit. If you're really saved, by the way, if you're really saved, there's no way you can live your own life in peace outside of God's will.
Yeah.
No way. If you are, you better get saved. You better run to Christ in a hurry, because you're not saved if you can just walk out of here and live your own life with no guilt at all. But he's going to work on you, chasten you, and work in your heart for one reason. Because he knows one day you're going to stand before him and you're going to give an account of your life.
Yep, that's right.
Amen. This is not a fairy tale. Yes. This is absolute fact. Yeah, I just read it to you. It's appointed. God has appointed it. Not me, not you. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness.
Amen.
Not in your opinion, but his righteousness. I need more about Jesus. America needs to know more about Jesus.
Amen.
This church needs to stand more and more about Jesus, for Jesus.
Amen.
Don't worry about, listen, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Don't worry about what anybody else says. Just understand, I need more about Jesus.
Yeah.
I need more of Jesus. My heart and my mind need to be filled with more about Jesus.
Amen.
Spend more time with him. Spend more time with him. He's alive.
Yes.
He's well. He's almighty. He's powerful. And the Bible says he's near to all of us, waiting. Seek, he says, seek me. Draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh.
Yes.
We need more about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning, Lord, I pray. I pray you'd work in this invitation, Lord. Bless your people now, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together. As the piano plays softly, the altars are open. More about Jesus is what we need, folks. Not less. We don't need to treat Jesus as a good luck charm. We need to treat Jesus as if he's our only Savior, our only hope, our only strength.